And present the Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
And we welcome you into the Talk of Emporia this Tuesday morning, the third Tuesday of the month of February. Yeah, my guest in studio had the oh my god reaction. You're right, yeah, we're almost through the month of February, which means we are sitting down with City Manager Trey Cocking from the City of Emporia as we are into the monthly Q&A with Trey. Good morning to you, Mr. Cocking.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Trehune. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Mr. Trehune's my father. You can stick with Sir or Majesty, whichever.
All right, Your Majesty for the rest of the...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, we were just talking a minute ago. We were talking about the Oscars a little bit. Have you gotten out to, with the kiddos, seen any of the movies or anything?
You know, what was the last thing we went and saw? We went and saw Zootopia 2.
I've heard that's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. Unfortunately, my six-year-old wanted to walk out of the theater with 5 minutes left because he needed to go to the bathroom. So I don't know how it ends. So if anybody wants to call in and
let us know how it ends.
Let me know how it ends. That would be appreciated.
I would appreciate it even more if somebody calls in to let us know how it ends and just tells us a completely fabricated ending.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. Minutes.
And then Trey's just like, I got to go see this now. Well,
and then Wicked for Good was the other film I've seen recently. So that was pretty good. Yeah.
Really great movie. I don't think it was nominated for... Best Picture, which is a huge snub. They keep nominating these movies that like nobody's seen. They're like the ones that release
the art house.
Yeah. They're like limited releases and stuff like that. Where I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, you read me the list. I have not seen any of the ones nominated for Picture of the Year, and probably over half of them I hadn't even heard of. So,
see, the one I told you got to watch is Sinners. I've been trying to watch that with my little brother for like the last 6 months. He keeps coming over to the house. He's like, we're going to watch this. And then we get busy and he's just like, next time. So it's so good.
I don't get much time to myself. And fair enough. Couple weeks ago, I had a 3-hour block. And then my son ended up getting sick, so he stayed at home, and I was like, oh, okay.
Just put him to bed, put the headphones on. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Just wait. You know, at some point, they'll be 14, 15. They'll be able to take care of themselves. There you
go. I know. We're slowly getting there, you know.
Slowly crawling towards that time where Trey can finally watch Oscar nominees. But
yes.
Nonetheless, Trey, speaking of kind of crawling right now, it seems like conversations on a possible natrium reactor here in the KVOE listening area, possibly Burlington, possibly Emporia, Lyon County, something like that. Those conversations were pretty hot and heavy towards the end of last year, and then they've kind of gone to a bit of a crawl here the last couple of months, last couple of weeks. I mean, can you give us any update on what those conversations have looked like?
You know, one thing you just said that I just want to clear up. Emporia is not a possible site.
Sure,
so
sure.
Lyon
sure.
County, yeah. Coffee County, around the existing site. You know, my understanding from the Department of Commerce, they're still engaging in those conversations. I believe they're going to be on site this quarter and taking a look around at various different opportunities in Kansas. They did get approval recently to proceed with their site in Wyoming. So, you know, that's always one of those things that, you know, this will be not the guinea pig if this does happen in our region. So I think I'm excited to hear what happens in Wyoming, how that gets online, and, you know, just the importance of putting more power on our power grid. We're putting a huge demand on it, and basically we're going to have to build more generation in the next 10 years than we built in the previous 100 years to meet all the expected demand between data centers, between just everything that is happening and the increased need for electricity. We're going to have to meet as a society, and it's going to be work, and it's going to be it's going to involve different technologies than what we have today.
Safe to say that there have been some who have been detractors of the natrium reactor for whatever reason. You know, some people say it's too dangerous. Other people say, you know, it's a risk and things like that. Nuclear power was a risk, you know, when that first started. And, I mean, you look at it now, it's something we rely on very heavily. And quite frankly, at least speaking from our vantage point with Wolf Creek, pretty darn safe. I mean, I can't ever recall a time where we've had to drive out to Burlington because there was a meltdown or there was any kind of issue. It seems like, yeah, okay, I understand the concerns about, you know, new technologies and new hazards, but it seems like there's probably 10 million safeguards in place for just one potential problem.
You know, you've had 3 nuclear incidents since we've had nuclear power coming out of World War II. You know, is there a concern? Always. But is there a concern in everything we do? You know, do I you know, probably the biggest risk I'm going to face today is when I get in my car and drive from point A to point B. You know, we have not mitigated that risk. I mean, just like if you're flying, the biggest risk that you take is going to the airport. So I would say that the biggest risk a power plant has is the employees driving there on a daily basis. That is going to be the biggest risk of anything else involved with it. Is the risk zero? Absolutely not. But, you know, if we look at, you know, Wolf Creek being online for 40 years now, you know, it went online in 1985. I mean, the number of good jobs that it has provided, the amount of wealth that it has built in Coffee County and here in Emporia. And really, you can go back to 1980 when construction started. And we saw a big building boom with that. And we just, you know, a lot of great jobs. I'm always amazed as I talk to people. You know, I'll meet teachers. What does your spouse do? They work at Wolf Creek. Sure. You know, Danny Giefer, longtime Wolf Creek employee. And, you know, he was able to take, you know, Danny moved to Emporia with absolutely nothing. You know, what they could fit in their car. And, you know, built a car wash empire from working at Wolf Creek. So, I mean, it's just been great jobs for folks. And, you know, yes, everything comes with risk. And, you know, we need to fully understand everything. And if they start looking at our area as a potential site, we will sit down. We'll do a lot of due diligence with them. We will understand the cost-benefit analysis. What is the absolute worst thing that could happen? And I think you have to understand all of those things as you move forward. If you're going to proceed and if you're going to do it, you know, and looking at really the one nuclear disaster that was disastrous, Chernobyl, that was mistake after mistake with a cover up in the middle of it. And, you know, folks not doing what they should have.
I had somebody say to me at one point, that was a movie plot more than it was a general reality. Yes. And by that, they just meant that is something that is one out of a million. But then, Trey, you know, people will ask, well, what about that one? Just because you don't think you'll be that one doesn't mean you can't be.
I mean, that's why you take safeguards. That's why, you know, you don't run it on max when you shouldn't run it on max. You don't try to do testing to just meet your test schedule like they were doing with Chernobyl. You know, you have a, you know, one of the things we're really great at the United States is a safety-focused culture where, you know, we teach our lowest level people if they see something, stop the process. You know, we're in a Soviet USSR at that time. You know, it was so much command and control. You only did what your superior told you to do, and you had to meet those deadlines or there would be consequences.
Sure.
So, you know, we have a much safer, open society. It's a lot harder to hide stuff in the United States than it is.
That's fair.
You know, every time I hear a conspiracy, I'm always, that doesn't happen. If more than two people know about something, somebody's talking. You know,
that's true. You know, there's I think a great analogy for that was this could be kind of off topic, but on the Star Wars set, I remember Mark Hamill telling a joke about how if they ever wanted to get news out fast on the set, you told Carrie Fisher. And, you know, they called her Telecarry because yeah. She would go and tell everybody no matter what, especially if you said keep it in our confidence. That feels much like the society we're in today is, respectfully, there isn't a lot of in our confidence anymore. If something seems fishy or seems suspicious, I mean, people are going to get up and they're going to say something. And everybody knows at least 10 people, and those 10 people know at least 10 other people. Before lunchtime, you know, 10,000 people know, and it's all over social media.
Well, and, you know, the biggest thing I found out, if you tell somebody to keep it secret, that just means it goes faster.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Have you ever tried that before where you really wanted to get people excited about something so you tell them, hey, don't tell anybody about this just yet, but this might be coming. And then all of a sudden everyone knows,
Yes, break the ground ahead of time. Yes.
Break the ground ahead of time. Yes. So in terms of the conversations, you kind of mentioned before we came on the air that they've kind of not fizzled or anything like that. They're not cooking with the same grease that they were about 2 months ago.
You know, I think they've been working on their Wyoming plant. I think they've been trying to get contracts with end users in place. And I think those things are happening, but, you know, it's a process to get lined up. You know, at the end of the day, if you're going to build this, you got to know that you have a user for this power. You don't want to build a expensive reactor and nobody's going to buy your power. So, you know, just have to make sure everything is lined up in the right order and then get it sited and then go on it and, you know, make sure you have something that the feds are going to sign off on. Make sure you have something that is safe at the end of the day. And all those things take time.
Can you give us any insight as to what the confidence level is either here in Lyon County, or have you had any conversations with your counterparts in Coffee County?
You know, on one hand, the Coffee County site makes a lot of sense, just from a – it's already there. It's already proven. The land is there. It's a rather turnkey process. Now, my understanding is Wolf Creek was built for two was sized for two reactors. So there is the space there. Now, do you want to give it up? You know, if you ever want to go back with – I'm going to use conventional nuclear reactor versus kind of these smaller nuclear reactors – do you want to save that land for something else and try to site it somewhere else? I don't know. But, you know, it's the process that they're going to go through.
So essentially is that kind of a no indication so far?
No indication so far on what they're going to prefer.
What is the city doing in the meantime, or, you know, the county? What have those conversations been like here in the meantime as you're kind of waiting to hear back from them?
You know, I think just continue to let them know, continue to check, you know, I checked in with Department of Commerce 2 weeks ago just to make sure there was nothing that we needed to be doing. And but, you know,
it's kind of a hurry up and wait.
Yes, correct.
Is there any kind of preparations you guys are doing behind the scenes for when those conversations resume?
Yeah, I think it's just being ready when those conversations happen and putting it all together if the time comes.
Well, how are you being ready, I guess, is my question there, Trey. Like, what are you guys doing to be prepared for that situation?
Yeah, you know, as much as possible, just being able to answer questions, being able to have yourself in the right place, and just make sure you have a cohesive message and come together as a community.
All right, fair enough. Well, we certainly look forward to when those conversations hopefully kick back up here soon, and hope you guys are ready to go when it does. So appreciate that. Again, Tegan Trahoon joined here on the Talk of Emporia by City Manager Trey Cocking for the monthly Q&A with Trey, being brought to you, of course, here on the Talk of Emporia by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia, where it's all about the meat, and Newman Regional Health, quality health care close to home. That's Newman Regional Health. We're going to go ahead and take our first break here on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we're going to get an update on the fire projects, the Emporia Fire Department projects. I should be specific on that, as there's been a lot of excitement surrounding that. We may be getting inside here sometime soon, as might be an open house coming here in the near future. We'll talk about all that and more here on the Talk of Emporia right after this timeout, again brought to you by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
Flu season is here. Don't let it slow you down. If you're feeling under the weather, Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Express Care is ready to help. Open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and weekends and holidays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. because your health matters every day. Walk in or call ahead at 620-343-7828. Fast, friendly care when you need it most. Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Express Care. Your health, our priority.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue is open on Sundays, a perfect day for church groups, life groups, family, and friends to gather for some great-tasting barbecue. Just call ahead if you need a large table. Enjoy their full menu along with some special menu items just for Sundays. Bobby D's also caters on Sundays. Visit their Facebook or website each week for the Sunday specials. Dine in or carry out. They look forward to seeing you this Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
Good morning, Chuck Samples, KVOE News with local news headlines here today. Outdoor burning discouraged area-wide, and it is banned short-term in several area counties, Chase, Coffee, and Osage. National Weather Service, though, not moving towards a red flag warning, but then again, still looking at the potential for extended and elevated fire danger all the way through Thursday. We'll have updates here for you on KVOE and KVOE.com. Meanwhile, Emporia Fire is using a fire incident from last evening to remind residents about local policy. Fire Captain Greg Davis says crews were dispatched at the 200 block of Union after a reported structure fire around 6 last evening, but instead of any structure fire damage, firefighters actually discovered a leaf burn in the front yard. And the Emporia Recreation Commission, City of Emporia, and Emporia Public Schools are forming a new committee soon to help oversee sports facility usage in the future, with a lot of desire and demand for facilities across town. Details at 12:05 today. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local.
You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this Tuesday morning, Tegan Trahoon joined in the KVOE studios by Emporia City Manager Trey Conking as we are into the monthly Q&A with Trey, having a little conversation about some Natrium conversations, which kind of hit a bit of a slowdown here since they really ramped up in, I'd say, late November, early December, really is kind of when we saw Mark Schreiber in there really kind of pushing this and talking about it. And, of course, Schreiber, very knowledgeable about that particular world. You mentioned Danny Giefer. Of course, Mark Schreiber had a pretty long career with Evergy and Wolf Creek. And so, I mean, he is an expert in that field, yeah, in my opinion, at least from a data and analytics standpoint. And so looking forward to seeing how that kind of continues to take shape here over the next several months. Moving along here, though, talking about taking shape, I feel like every episode that we've had of the Q&A with Trey, at least over the last year, we've kind of marveled a little bit about the Emporia Fire Department Headquarters project, which, I mean, you know, for good reason. I mean, that thing moved so fast. And basically, are they in there and operating right now?
They are not. We officially received the keys to the building yesterday. So the furniture installers are in there installing desks and doing that sort of things. And then probably in the next week and a half, they will start migrating across the street. And but still running calls out of the old building. But we officially got the keys to the building yesterday. So now it's just a matter of getting that, you know, personal property type desk and lockers and those sort of things set up in the building.
So, I mean, safe to say they'll probably be moved in and ready to go by the end of this month?
Yeah, I think we're on track for that. You know, I went through the building yesterday. It came out really well. I think the community has a lot to be proud of. I think the department has a lot to be proud of. And, you know, I think when we had the city managers conference here in December, we took them through the old building and through the new building. And I think we'll try to do that with the community when we have the open house. They just have to understand what kind of horrible conditions our fire department was operating in. I mean, 85-year-old space that has largely in a lot of places gone untouched, to now a very modern, very much designed around firefighter safety, designed around firefighter well-being. You know, I just think from a recruiting standpoint, from a retention standpoint, and even from a safety standpoint, you know, this building is designed to quickly get people out if we have a call in the middle of the night. You know, right now they're coming downstairs trying to fumble around in apparatus bays that aren't lit very well. And now everything is designed to get folks out, to keep firefighters safe, to get them decontaminated after a fire.
Let me put a pin in that right there. We've talked about the safety aspect over and over, which, I mean, again, round of applause. I think that is phenomenal. You know, coming from somebody who, my uncle was a firefighter for several decades in Topeka. He was fire chief there, you know, and he actually had a battle with cancer at one point. I don't know if that was directly related to his work, but it was a throat cancer and things like that. I believe, you know, it had a role to play in it. So I've seen it firsthand, you know. Thank God he survived. He made it through. But, you know, that is a very common story amongst people who are giving their lives to try and keep others safe. And so I think a big question, you know, you talk about the safety aspect of it, but a big question here is the efficiency aspect. You brought that up, and my question there is, how does efficiency and safety maybe go hand in hand here? Because, of course, we talk about firefighter safety, but what about the individual safety that they're responding to? That efficiency and that quicker response has to be something that was also top-notch, top of the head.
It is. And, you know, one of the things with medical calls and with fire calls, we know that seconds matter. So if we're able to get out of the building 30 seconds quicker, there's brand new station alerting system that, you know, will signal the firefighters that it's time to go, that is both visual and audio. Versus right now, we just pretty much have an audio system. But then just that quicker, I mean, right down the hallway. The bedrooms are right down the hallway from where they go. In the existing station, the bedrooms are upstairs. So now you get woken up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. It takes just a couple seconds to get your senses. And now you got to stumble out either down a pole or downstairs, out to the bay. The bay is not laid out very well. And also we have a split configuration where we have the aerial in a bay that you have to go through the firehouse to get to the Quint truck versus the other apparatus is, you know, on the west side of the house. So now everything's going to be out the same way. You can make sure you have everybody coordinated, everybody where they need to be, everybody on a truck if you have a structure fire. And that all counts so quick because fires multiply, you know, within 30 seconds a fire has a chance to multiply. Quite frankly, we had a house fire back in December that if they weren't there 30 seconds later, that house might have been fully involved.
Yeah. Well, and of course, we had a couple of structure fires in the span of that month. Unfortunately, one life was lost, but that was not due to response, from what I understand, at least in the initial findings. But, I mean, really, you think about the fire over by Doobie's in that trailer park. I saw people going out from the business who were putting out small embers here and there just near the property line that would have encroached on Doobie's parking lot. And you think about it, I mean, the fire department was, I mean, number one, it was pretty close to proximity to Fire Station 1. I mean, it was maybe 6-7 blocks away, but they got there so fast. And that fire, as I understand, was already raging by the time it was called in. They got in there, knocked down. It didn't spread anywhere else. I mean, they contained it very quickly.
Yeah.
Imagine what would happen, you know, if they weren't having to go down the stairs, as you mentioned, and things like that. They probably could have kept it from burning anything else. And I mean, again, that's just a matter of seconds, but big ups to them on that. That was an amazing effort to watch. Yeah. They got it knocked down quickly.
You know, we have, and I say this, you know, this is the third city I've managed, but we have one of the absolute best fire departments around, and they fight more fire. Quite frankly, our guys fight more fire than almost any other fire department. Part of that is just the grass, wildland fires that we have to do, but our guys see so much more fire than a lot of firefighters see. I mean, if you're in Johnson County, you may see a fire a quarter.
Sure.
Our guys see a lot more fire, a lot more action, and just are better prepared. So, you know, giving them a tool like this to do their job better, I think, is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Just real quick here, has there been a date set for the open house?
No, but it should be announced this week, from my understanding, and it will be coming up really soon.
Okay.
You know, we want to get the public in there. We want to, you know, at the end of the day, the public's the one that's paying for this building, so I think it's very important that they see
the fruits of their cost.
Yeah.
So a question with that, when it is announced, do you guys know, like, will there be, like, a registration or a sign-up?
I think it will just be an open house.
Okay.
Come and go open house.
So. Fair enough. All right. Very good. One last thing here is, of course, we focus a lot on Fire Station 1. Fire Station 2 is also included in this project and getting some massive upgrades, basically getting a whole new addition to it.
Two additions.
To, again, help with safety, efficiency, space, all that good stuff. When can we expect to start seeing work on that begin?
So the project officially kicked off yesterday. So, you know, they're on site and are in the process of mobilizing. So we should start to see construction take place within the next 2 weeks, but it's officially going at this point.
So they're just doing kind of site observations right now, just kind of laying the land a little bit.
Yes, you know, get going. I have not driven by to see what you see at this point. You know, the two parts of that project, one is adding two more bays to the south of the existing station. We only have one ladder truck in our community right now. When we had the Hornets Point apartment fire in December 21, we really needed a second ladder truck to be able to knock down that fire.
Yeah.
Just would help immensely to have two fires. The other thing we don't have is a platform. Right now we just have a stick, so you can put a firefighter on the stick. But if you ever have to rescue somebody from a building, trying to get somebody to crawl down a ladder who, you know, may be disabled, maybe have problems walking for whatever reasons, may have just woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to get them to walk down that ladder is very difficult. But now we've also ordered the new aerial truck and it will have a platform.
Sure.
So you'll be able to, you know, stick the platform up there. Firefighter will be able to assist somebody off that platform and then, you know, you can lower that safely to the ground.
And is that going to be housed at Station 2?
That's going to be housed at Station 2. So we have to create room for that. We do kind of have our three ambulances piled in there, so allows us to get our extra ambulances out. And I think actually we have four ambulances in there right now. So
okay.
And then grass fighting, you know, grass fighting rigs and everything else. So more room. And then also adding those safety standards for our firefighters to the building as well.
Very good. Again, Tegan Trahoon joined in the KVOA studios by Emporia City Manager Trey Conking as we're into the monthly Q&A with Trey. We're going to take our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. Come back. Talk a little bit more about a more recent development, actually last night, involving the city of Emporia, or at least it will involve the city of Emporia here shortly, as the Emporia Rec Commission voting to develop a new committee to help oversee priority usage at sports facilities here in town. I'm very interested to get Trey's thoughts on this, so we'll go ahead and step aside here real fast. Be right back on the Talk of Emporia, again brought to you by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue is open on Sundays, a perfect day for church groups, life groups, family, and friends to gather for some great-tasting barbecue. Just call ahead if you need a large table. Enjoy their full menu along with some special menu items just for Sundays. Bobby D's also caters on Sundays. Visit their Facebook or website each week for the Sunday specials. Dine in or carry out. They look forward to seeing you this Sunday at Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia.
Heart disease often develops silently. Many of the most serious risk factors like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and elevated blood sugar show no outward symptoms at all. Understanding your risk is the first step toward prevention. Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Cardiology are your local experts for all your heart health needs. A simple conversation with your primary care doctor can make all the difference. Call Newman Regional Health, 620-343-2376.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Reverend Jesse Jackson is being remembered following his death today. ABC News political director Avery Harper says the civil rights leader modernized the civil rights movement following the assassination of his mentor, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and changed American politics, making two bids for president.
Jesse Jackson reshaped modern presidential politics. In 1984 and 1988, he didn't just run symbolic campaigns, he built what he called the Rainbow Coalition. Jackson deliberately brought together black voters, Latino voters, Asian American voters, labor unions, farmers, students, and working class white voters. He proved that a multiracial coalition could compete on a national stage and win delegates, changing how Democrats thought about who belonged in a winning coalition.
Jesse Jackson was 84. Talks in Geneva, Switzerland today between the U.S. and Iran on a nuclear deal, both sides signaling progress. In California, heavy rain and damaging winds raising the risk of mudslides up and down the coast. This is ABC News.
Win three large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Register today at kvoe.com/at work. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Live. Win free pizza and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
And we're back on the Talk of Emporia this Tuesday morning. Tegan Trahoon joined in the KVOA studios by Emporia City Manager Trey Conking. We're into the monthly Q&A with Trey. We've been talking natriums. We've been talking a little Emporia fire. Now it's time to talk a little sports facility usage. As you sound so excited about it. Was that just you breathing, or was that?
I was just breathing, trying to cue up something else. I mean, it's just.
He's a multi-talented man right there.
Quite frankly, I was off last week, so I'm just jumping back into
it.
It's
Oh, were you off the whole week?
I was off the whole week.
I was wondering why I never heard back from you on anything.
I was on vacation for a week.
Well, man, I wish I would have called you more now.
I know. I wouldn't have answered.
That's how it is for us at the station. All right, I'm going on vacation for a week. The minute you start, there goes your phone. It's everybody gets back to you. It's like, hey, sorry, I saw your message from 6 months ago. Just thought I'd get back to you. I'm not on this week.
I still have not sorted through my email yet, so I know that there's still hanging pieces out there. But, you know, the meetings start as soon as I get back. And
sure. Yeah. Where'd you guys go? Did you do anything fun?
My parents took the entire family on a cruise for their 50th anniversary.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, it was a great time.
It was a Disney cruise, wasn't it?
It was a Disney cruise. Yeah. And I was very pleasantly surprised with the entire
Did you think you weren't going to enjoy it as much?
Yeah, you just don't know. I mean, my kids are cute, right? But, you know, I don't know about other people's kids.
Sure.
But it was really a great time. Enjoyed it. My kids enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. My parents enjoyed it. My brothers and their kids enjoyed it. And
Did you get a picture with the Mickey Mouse ears?
I don't know that I have Mickey Mouse ears. But, you know, my kids did. My kids fully embraced the experience. So, but yeah, it was.
I've got the Mickey Mouse wizard hat.
Ooh, that would be, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of friends of mine got it for me in Disneyland a couple years back. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to wear that sometime.
So, no, it was good. So my parents' 50th anniversary in October. And
that's great.
It was great. You know, my daughter got bippity-boppity-booed and, you know, turned into Cinderella, and which was outstanding. And,
that's
you
awesome.
Know, she's just such a little princess. So it was great.
That's fantastic. Well, glad you guys had a good time. Real quick, like I had mentioned before we took our last break, I know you're just kind of getting back into the swing of things, but yesterday the Emporia Recreation Commission voted basically to form a committee that is all about kind of assigning priority for sports facility usage. Can I ask, has the city been in on these conversations at all prior to last night's action?
You know, I got an email from somebody who was upset last week. Was kind of my first introduction. That there was an issue with this.
Specifically just about the usage of facilities?
Of facilities, and, you know, they're somebody representing a local team. Hey, we're a local team. We're not given priority over out-of-town teams.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, with anything, you know, I think there's some sorting because I think some of these out-of-town teams have Emporia kids on it.
Sure.
So, you know, when do you become an Emporia team? Is it if your coach lives in town? Is it if 60% of your kid, you know, and I haven't got enough in those.
I would make the argument you're an Emporia team when your jersey says Emporia.
Yeah.
I mean, respectfully, I don't know who's involved in this. I want to be clear. I haven't been shown any emails.
Yeah, me either.
I don't know about these outside teams. I don't know who they are other than that they exist. I don't know which ones are using it.
Yeah.
But to me, you're an Emporia team when the front of your chest says Emporia.
Yeah, and the one other small complication is the rec center is paid off of their tax dollars come from the school district,
yes.
Mill Levy. And the school district's a little bit bigger than the city itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's always another complication that we have as we look at this. It's not just Emporia proper. Now, the school district does not encompass any other cities.
Right.
I mean, it's just Emporia, but it does include parts outside of the city of Emporia.
Sure. And also, I mean, Amanda Gutierrez yesterday made a good point. She goes, they're not technically our facilities. We maintain them.
They maintain them and manage them.
And manage them, but we don't own them because the Rec Commission cannot own property.
Correct.
Just to clarify. Isn't that correct?
They can be gifted property.
There's a fine line.
There's a fine line there.
But they don't technically own it.
But they program that, and we can't program it. I mean, that's part of what we give up when we go into a city school district agreement is they are responsible for programming that property.
So,
for sports purposes.
And I thought Amanda made a good point, though, because I think that originally the idea was, okay, all these teams are coming in here. Okay, you guys just choose. That's kind of a you know what move, you know, basically having them have to sit there and go.
What I do to my kids a lot. All right, you know, figure it out between the two of you.
Yeah, but I mean that's a tough move.
It is a tough one.
You know, to basically tell them like, okay, you get to tell them they're more important than them. I mean, I feel like that's kind of how people kind of saw it. It was like, well, now we have to say, you know, you're our favorite, so you go first, or at least that's how it's viewed.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like this was a very good way of handling that, where you say, okay, we're all involved in this, so now we're going to sit together, we're going to put together a committee and say, okay, this is how we develop and determine priority. Not to mention, there are a couple of teams, or at least one that I know of, I believe it was the Reds, have an agreement signed, but these other teams don't. And I mean, wouldn't it just be easier to have everybody sign agreements than whoever signed the agreement first, second, third, fourth, that's how you develop the priority, or is there more factors that go into that?
You know, I think those are all great questions for the committee to look at
right.
and weigh through. And like I said, I really have not, other than getting one email on the subject,
sure.
I have not been indoctrinated on it. You know, it's always when you come down making decisions, it's difficult. And, you know, I think there's good points all around and everybody involved. And whoever we appoint to that committee won't be me.
but you are handling the appointment for the city, correct?
For the city, yes. So if anybody's interested, please email me at tcockin@emporiaks.gov, and let me know if they're interested in serving on that committee.
And it doesn't have to be a city employee or anything.
I don't believe so.
It could actually be a community member.
Community member.
That wasn't really defined last night.
I will look for somebody who does live in the city limits.
Well, and I would imagine somebody who's got some experience in this realm as well. I mean, that's probably a plus.
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to just throw a random person.
So, board chair Jeremy Dorsey had mentioned that the first report is due by May. So when do you hope to have the person selected, and what's the process going to look like for you?
I will probably try to take names over, you know, I would hope to maybe have it wrapped up pretty quickly. I need to get with Amanda and see when they want to meet the first time, but, you know, I'd like to have at least 10 days, 15 days to work through that process.
Fair enough. Is there anything the city is specifically maybe looking for in this? Like, I know you mentioned it aside from an email, but I mean, is there anything that's been in the back of your head of kind of like what would help determine priority for you?
You know, at the end of the day, I think it's just important to have a policy that everybody agrees to. And, you know, that's the agreed upon policy. And people know going into it, you know, whether it's, hey, your first choice is to make the decision amongst yourselves, but this is what the fallback position is. You know, I always like to give people as much agency as possible in making those decisions. I usually resist the heavy command, this is the way we're doing it. Sometimes that's the way you have to do. But, you know, lots of times it's, you know, I'll give you an example. I'll tell my kids, especially if my wife's out of town or something, hey, we're going out to dinner. You guys have to decide where we're going. If you guys can't decide where we're going, we're going to go home and have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
A little extra motivation always helps, you know, when you basically say, hey, make the decision or the prize goes away.
Yes.
My mom used to do that with us, too. That's how we went and saw – my brother and I loved Austin Powers growing up. And my mom said, hey, you got two options between these movies. What are you wanting to go see? And, you know, my brother and I both wanted to go see that movie. And it was easy to do. But it's also easy when you throw that option out there and you kind of make it look like it's their choice. Yes. You know, my mom would throw a movie out that she knew we wanted to go see, and it was easy to get us to get along on it and decide together on it. You know, so I mean, not saying there's trickery or anything, but I mean, do you think like you guys throw them some options that kind of help show them, you know, hey,
I don't know that I'm personally be involved in the discussions.
Sure.
I'm going to really say that's, I would hope that Amanda and her crew lead folks and help them through that process.
No, that's totally fair. Well, we'll look forward to kind of hearing more about this as it unfolds, and appreciate your thoughts on that, and look forward to seeing how those conversations come about. Again, if somebody wants to be a part of that discussion, be the city representative, how can they get a hold of you?
Email me at tcocking@emporiaks.gov.
Very good. Well, we are just about out of time here, but I'd be remiss if we didn't get a phone call from the one and only Mr. Mark Detter, Deputy City Manager of the City of Emporia. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Tegan. How are things going in Seahawks Super Bowl land?
I knew he was going to do that. I love doing this whole Better with Detter thing, but after the Super Bowl, I was sitting here like, I don't know if I want him on the air ever again. But Mark, we... Mark and I had a bet... on the Super Bowl. Of course, Mark, a lifelong Seahawks fan. I've been a Patriots fan since I was 10 years old. I will say this, Mark. You won. You absolutely won. But I think I also won a little bit here, too, because I threw out there hair versus beard. I said, you know, loser shaves, and Mark turned me down. Mark said no.
Yeah. I was confident, but not that confident in losing my hair. So, you know, I just I couldn't go that far with it.
That's the one thing you can always say about Patriots fans is even when we know we're going to lose, we still have a lot of confidence that's not earned. So. Well,
absolutely.
To anybody that's been tuning into the Q&A here for the last couple of months, we've started this thing with Detter where we get a perspective on a question that has generated great debate for many years. And the last month we talked about chicken or the egg, and of course the answer was the ordinance. Ordinance is what came first, was chicken ordinances. Before that, of course, Mark laid out definitively why Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And now, Mark, I've got the hardest question I think I've ever thrown at you, and that is, does pineapple belong on pizza, Mark?
Well, look, I think that's kind of a, when in Rome question. if you're in Hawaii, 1,000% pineapple's got to be on pizza. In Kansas in the summer, yeah, I think so. But other times of the year, I think it's suspect. So, you know, my bottom line is location.
You're getting three thumbs down over here from Trey and myself.
I mean, I think pineapple is
seasonally. So, you know, I guess you guys see this a little bit differently.
I mean, here's the deal. If it is the dead of winter and I want pineapple on my pizza to brighten things up, to give me that hope that eventually we're going to have nice warm temperatures, pineapple, it's just a good flavor. And you know the other thing I really like? A lot of people go ham and pineapple. That's kind of the traditional.
That's my favorite.
Pepperoni and pineapple. The sweet with the spice.
Really?
Oh, man. That's where the money is.
Detter, I think I know what we got to do now. We got to get you in studio. We got to do a taste test. We got to do pineapple and ham, pineapple and pepperoni.
Okay, I'll just have to have a lay around my neck.
So wait a minute. You're saying you have to be Hawaiian or in Hawaii to enjoy?
I mean, you know, maybe KVO should consider sending the three of us to Hawaii to
research
this.
There you go. We could do it in studio and then do it in Hawaii, see what we think is better.
I personally think this is a... Guys, I have to agree, begrudgingly, I have to agree that I think, yeah, this is a big enough issue, a big enough topic. I think we have to get the answer. And, yeah, you know, let's, Ron, if you happen to be listening, Harder, if you happen to be listening, I think, cue
Souter
up the
Brothers,
jet.
Probably.
The Souter Brothers, yeah. Jamie, if you happen to be listening, maybe we fuel up the old jet and we just take a quick jaunt down to Hawaii. You know, nothing crazy, couple weeks, that's about it, to really let it sink in.
Right.
And, you know, maybe we do this on the air. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's a great idea. So I'm waiting on the plane tickets now. So
just have.
I just love it. I just love this segment. It's always productive, and now we've come to another good conclusion here.
Yeah, Detter has validated my love of Die Hard. Broke us all and really put Chief Owens on the spot last month. Now this month he's trying to get me a trip to Hawaii. I love Better with Detter. Everything is Better with Detter.
Next month, see you again.
Yes, sir. Mark, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
All right. See you guys later.
See you, Mark. That is Deputy City Manager Mark Detter joining us here on the Q&A with Trey. That's going to do it for us here for another month. Trey, thank you as always. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate your insight, and good luck with everything that's coming up here over the next couple weeks. I guess I'll see you tomorrow at the City Commission.
Yeah, big thing. City Commission meeting tomorrow. Joint City-County meeting. So that's open to the public.
So there'll be no study session for the city.
Just straight City-County meeting. I think we might have a special guest at the commission meeting, too. Still waiting to confirm that, but somebody's going to come by and say hi tomorrow at the commission meeting, which I think is good. So, but a lot of things happening.
I'll look forward to that with great interest. So appreciate you, Trey. Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck with everything coming up.
All right. Thanks, Tegan.
All right. We'll talk to you next month. That is the Q&A with Trey. City Manager Trey Cocking joining us here on the Talk of Emporia this Tuesday morning. Stick around. We have our 12 o'clock block of news and information coming up shortly, including a check of ABC News. Of course, our own local news with Chuck Samples in the 24-hour KVOE newsroom. Check of the market, sports, and so much more all coming your way right here on KVOE, live and local.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local.